while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
All right, so my name is Emmanuel Supo. I'm a financial advisor. And I guess I'm going to start with my story, but today really is about adding as much value as possible. So if you have a financial question, it's a safe space. Just ask a question. If it's you and you don't want them to know it's you, just say, I'm asking for a friend. We all have a friend. We're not lying. Somebody, one of your friends is broke, so it's okay. It doesn't have to be about you, okay? So just say it's for a friend and we'll all accept it. Is that okay, church? Because today I want to give you as much value. I don't want to just talk at you and tell you all this stuff that, because there's so much stuff we could talk about. Please do ask questions. I don't know if there's a roaming mic that we can get arranged so that people can ask their questions, because I want to add as much value as possible. But before I start, I really want to share with you my journey to getting on television or getting to this place that we see today. I grew up in a place called Tower Hamlets, a place called Limehouse. Does anyone know Tower Hamlets, East London? Okay, perfect. So, my parents are Nigerian. Any Nigerians in the house? God bless you. God bless you. Not, God bless everyone, but if you're Nigerian, you need that extra blessing. It's not easy. It's not easy being Nigerian. It's not easy. So you need that extra blessing in life. So I'm the oldest child. I've got two younger sisters. Being the first born child in a Nigerian household is like being told you must become president of the United States. You have to dictate anything that happens in that house is your problem. Whether you was there or you was not there, it is your problem. So I feel like I've always been built up for leadership, because being the eldest child, you had to be the leader. And growing up where I grew up on a council estate in Tower Hamlets, it was hard. You know, I'm sure a lot of us know about the sacrifices, how hard it is, especially when, you know, my parents came from Nigeria. And guess what? When you come from another country, there's no manual. Did anybody get a manual on, like, this is how you make money, this is how you make it work? In fact, guess what happened? When you came, the banks didn't want to open an account for you. You couldn't get a job, so you had to do... My dad did security. If you ever saw my dad, what are you securing? There is nothing about my dad that will make you fear not to steal anything at all. But it was just the jobs that you could get at the time, yeah? And so we grew up in this household, having to go to church every Sunday. Did anybody have to go to church? Like, anyone have to? Like, it wasn't a choice. No, that was me. Like, and my name is Emmanuel. It's probably the most Christian name you could get in life. If you ever, you know, like I told my parents, when they called me Emmanuel, they knew what it, because even when I was in the club and somebody would say, Emmanuel, God with us, you just feel like, maybe I shouldn't be here right now. It's just a name. You can't escape God, even if you want to. Everywhere you go, every Christmas, someone's singing a carol with your name in it. It's just one of those names. And the importance of a name, you know, sometimes we don't think about it, but the importance of a name is so important. What does your name mean? What does your name stand for? Wherever I went, I knew God was with me. Wherever I knew the people I was with, I knew God was with us. And so the importance of a name. And so I went to this school, it's called Bow Boys. It's probably the worst school in Tower Hamlets. So, you know, in my times, it was 5 A to C's. I don't know what this number thing that they're doing now, I'm lost. But you needed to get 5 A to C's to go to college. My school, less than 5% got 5 A to C's, which meant that you were more likely to go to prison than you were to go to university. This is the environment. Like, you know, when it came to teaching, we didn't have textbooks. The teacher would photocopy the pages that we were going to learn, you know, because the kids would just rip the books. And it was a jungle. It was a jungle. And so it was one of those environments where you look at yourself and you say, I've got parents that are struggling and they don't know where they're going. I've got a school that hasn't got a clue what to do. And did anybody ever, I just want to, especially my Nigerians, you know what I'm talking about. Did anybody ever get in trouble for leaving the light on in the kitchen? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You see, you go in the kitchen, you get your food, and you're so happy to see the food that you walk out of the kitchen and you leave the light on. And for some of these people, some of you are thinking, why would that be a problem? When you have no money, the light being on and nobody being in there means money is being wasted. And if you're Nigerian and money is being wasted, somebody is getting beats. Somebody has to get beats. And I know nobody hits their child anymore. We thank God for grace and for evolution. Unfortunately, I wasn't born in that generation. We got licks in my day. You know, there was no ADHD. You were just a problem, you know, and you got dealt with as a problem. And so being Nigerian, it's not, you know, you don't get beats the normal way. You know, it's not just, I'm just going to give you beats. No, they're going to go and send you to get the, you know, the weapon that they're going to use to deal with you. Now, they will go and tell you, go and get the belt, you know. Which belt? You don't know which belt. So obviously, being clever, you're going to find the skinniest belt possible. You'll bring that belt, they'll give you licks. Now, they'll tell you, go and get the proper belt that, you know. So they'll just deal with you, and then you go and get. Now, also, there's a problem. Because as you're getting these beats, if you make too much noise, they will tell you to be quiet. But if you're quiet, they will say, I'm not beating you hard enough. So now, do you be quiet or do you make noise? Which one is it? In the end, you just have to faint. You know, you don't, and you just have to fall down and hope for mercy and grace. And so, when I would open my one eye and make sure that my mom has gone, I would go to my room and I would look out of the window. And I lived in a place called Limehouse. When I looked out of the window, there's a place called Canary Wharf. Has anybody seen Canary Wharf?
Yes.
Has anybody seen Canary Wharf at nighttime?
Yes.
All the buildings, all the lights are on. And in my young brain, I said, wow, these people must be rich. Because they can leave the lights on and go home. 100 floors, all the lights are on. Me, one light bulb in the kitchen, I'm getting beats. I need to get over there. The mind of a young person. Do you know that sometimes as adults, what happens is that we lose that adventure as a child. Do you know as a child, you'll say, I want to be an astronaut. You're no good at maths, no good at science, but you want to be an astronaut, you're going to be an astronaut. When we get older, what do we start saying? We have to be realistic. Do you know that sometimes your realism is keeping you in bondage? Your realism is keeping you in the space that you're in. Your realism is stopping you from getting to where you're trying to get to in life. And so I said to myself, I've got to get to these buildings. I don't know how, I've got to get into these buildings. And so I got a job in Marks and Spencer's. Anyone know about Marks and Spencer's? Wonderful. But is it for your budget? I'm not. We're going to get there anyway. We're going to get there. Some of us, we should be in Aldi and Lidl, and we're in Marks and Spencer's and Waitrose. But we're going to get there. We've only just started. Don't worry. We're going to get to that one later. I got to Marks and Spencer's. 5 a.m. in the morning was my shift, you know? Do you know who's awake at 5 a.m. in the morning? It is me and the foxes. Do you have foxes in Pollard Hill? Because in Tower Hamlets, East London, we have foxes, oh. Fox on top. Fantastic Mr. Fox is everywhere. And so, in 5 a.m., there's no bus. There's only the DLR, the Docklands Light Railway. You know, we're in. So, I'll have to walk to the station. And there will be foxes. And as the fox will come close, I will cross the road. And as I cross the road, the fox also would cross the road. And then I will cross back. And the fox, and we will play this game every morning at 5 a.m. Because me, I do not play any games with any foxes. So I will not be getting bitten. And sometimes on your road to success, there will be hurdles. I could have said to myself, you know what, I hate these foxes. I'm not going to go. I can't do it. It's too tough. But I used that experience working at Marks and Spencer's to get a job as a cashier in Barclays. Remember, the dream is to get into this Barclays building. Now, I'm a cashier in Barclays. And so I become a cashier in Barclays, and at 19, I'm doing my degree. I don't even know how I got to a degree. I only left school with 4 GCSEs. I left school with 4 GCSEs. My head of year writ a letter to my college to even allow me to get into college. It's another story. Sometimes there are destiny helpers on your way. But you have to understand why. You have to ask yourself, why would somebody help me? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You see, people ask me, what's my superpower? I would tell people, the number one thing my superpower is I'm likable. Do you know what that is? When people just like you. And so because people like you, they just want to help you. Some of us, we should just pray, God, help me to be more likable. Help people to find favor with me. Help people to just want to help me. Because the people that were helping me didn't look like me. But that wasn't a barrier. That wasn't a problem. Because they liked me. And so what happens is I get this job, Marks, I get this job, Barclays, become a cashier. And I just work hard. I get a mentor, teaches me the ropes. Long story short, by 22, I become the youngest financial advisor in Barclays in the country. First day on the job, they do it in that Barclays building in Canary Wharf. There's a restaurant near the top floor. We have a reception. I'm on the top floor. I look out the window. I'm so high up, I can't even see my estate. It's so far away. But I knew the direction that it was in. And I said to myself, at 13, 14, I wanted to be in the building. At 22, I'm now here. And the point is that sometimes you will say that, how can I get there? You know, the council estate that I live on, the things that I've been through, you know, my color of my skin, my education, you will find so many reasons not to be there. But you won't find a reason to do the work. Sometimes you just need to do the work. You just need to get down and do the work and be focused on where you're trying to get to. But even with success, when you get there, it doesn't end. So I get there, and guess what? I realize that I'm spending all my days just helping rich people get richer. All my clients do not look like me. All my colleagues don't even know what a council estate is. And I think to myself, well, we're in this building. My estate is literally 5 minutes away. None of them have ever been outside. They come to this building and they go. And I said to myself, I need to be the change I want to see. You see, sometimes we get into a position, I always think about it, you know, when they parted the Red Sea, some of us, we just want to get to the land of milk and honey. And once we get there, everyone else's business is everybody else's business. But actually, some of us say, actually, if I get here, it's actually better over here with more of us. Do you understand? Sometimes I'd rather have less if it means we have more. And so I told myself, I don't want to just enjoy this life. I don't want to just enjoy this money. I don't just want to surround myself with people. I want to go back and help those who feel like there's not an opportunity to get into this room. I want to be the financial advisor that my parents didn't get to have. And so go through the banks, and you know, I have four wonderful children. But my wife, we had our fourth child. I went on paternity leave, 2 weeks. Went on paternity leave, I came back. The company I'm working for, they made me redundant. Do you know what it's like to have four kids and you get made redundant? Hey, I don't even know how I'm gonna go home and tell my Nigerian wife that there's no work. That one, I was sitting in that car for a long time. It is well. How well, though? So I said to myself, look, we've got to do this. We've got to go. I'm luckily for me, the HR manager, again, being likable, the HR manager, she really liked me. So she made sure I got the most amount of redundancy. I mean, she counted every single day, every single... The amount, by the time the money she gave me, plus the money I had in savings, I didn't need to work for 9 months. And I said to myself, okay, what they thought they were doing was bad, but actually what they were doing was God's work. Because what happens is I leave that job, and then I go on social media full time. And that was in March 2019. By August 2019, I got my first TV show with Channel 4. And sometimes you say to yourself, well, and the reason I share this is because I don't know what situation you're in. But you may be in a place where you feel like, why is this happening to me? You wake up and feel like I'm a good person. I tithe. I give to charity. I'm polite. Why is these bad things happening to me? But sometimes these things are happening because God is directing you to the path that you're supposed to be on. And what can seem as a curse at the time is actually a blessing. And so I do the TV show. We do the first TV show with Channel 4 called Save Well, Spend Better. Then January 2020, then we go into lockdown because of the pandemic. Then we go to George Floyd. So because of the pandemic, what happens? Everyone's talking about money. We're all on furlough. Everyone's got financial issues. Then because of George Floyd, they're like, we need a black person to come and talk about this. So we need a black person to talk about finance. Hello, here I am. You see, sometimes we're waiting for the opportunity. If I hadn't gone and done the work, I wouldn't be prepared for when the opportunity comes. Do you understand? Sometimes, if I would have started on social media, oh, George Floyd, let me start posting content now, they wouldn't have picked me. And I haven't stopped working since. I haven't stopped, whether it be TV. Now, like I said, I left school with 4 GCSEs. Today, millionaires pay me to tell them what to do with their money. I left school with 4 GCSEs, but today, when something happens financially in the country, Emmanuel, can you come on TV and tell the country what to do? The point being is that you're not defined by your failures. Some of us, we carry our failures around. I hear it all the time. Oh, if I didn't do that investment, or if I didn't borrow that person that money. Oh, listen, we can't go back. We're here now. You're not defined by your failures. But what are you doing to change your situation? I mean, this place is almost packed. Thank you guys so much for coming. But imagine if I said to you all, if I said that there was going to be £1,000 on each chair, do you know the queue that would have been outside? But we come here and we talk about, we're going to give you the knowledge, and there's no queue outside. But the problem is, and this is where we've got to change our mindset, is that with the knowledge, now you can make £1,000 every month. So if... Is it actually, sometimes, the point I'm saying is that sometimes we're chasing the physical when actually what we need is the mental. We need the knowledge. Because the knowledge will allow you to make so much more. But we've been taught, that's how work works. You're trained to go and get a job and make money. But you're never trained to make money work for you. See, we work for money, but we don't know how to make money work for us. And so that's the difference. And so today, I mean, again, anyone that's got any questions, please, you can just raise your hands and we'll start to go through questions. But today, for me, it's really important for us to understand how to make this money start to work for us. Let me ask a question. How many people have an ISA? Okay, good. Keep those hands up if you have a Stockton Shares ISA. That's about right. So, an ISA, cash ISA, is a savings account that allows you, you can put up to £20,000 in it and not pay any tax on it, right? A Stockton Shares ISA is basically the same, but allows you to invest in stocks, allows you to invest in funds. And you can do that over the longer term. Has anyone ever heard of something called compound interest? Yeah? So compound interest is basically what they call it, basically when you make money, so let's say I've got £100. I put £100 in the account, I get 10% on my £100. So each month. So the next month, I will have the £100, plus I will have the £10 interest, which is the 10%. The next month, I will get 10% on my original £100, but I will also get 10% on my interest. That interest is money that I haven't put in there. So that £1, which is 10% of £10, that £1 is free money. Is interest on top of interest. I'm getting money on top of money that I never put money in for. Does that make sense? When you do that over a long period of time, it grows to a larger amount. So when we see our kids, if we've got children now, we should be thinking about something called a junior ISA, which allows you to put money away for your children. Even if it's £10, £50, whatever it may be. Now, sometimes when we talk about these things, we think we've got to put in a huge amount. We've got to get into the habit. Do you understand? It's the habit. You can start. I had clients that started with £10. Today, they're putting in £1,000 a month. Why? Because they've built that habit. They've realized that they can build this money and still live their lifestyle. All right? But the biggest thing is, yes, we need to manage our money. Has anyone ever heard of the concept of your needs versus your wants? Has anyone? Of course you have. My son again. please, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask the question about
Yes.
Do you do that for grandchildren?
Yes.
And do you open it with the parents
after? So the question is about junior ISAs. And do grandparents need to open it, or do the parents need to open it? So yes, you can put into a junior ISA as a grandparent. The parents would need to open it for the child, because the parents, and you can open it once you have your birth certificate for your child, you can open a junior ISA. And then, yes, grandparents can do it. So think about this, for example. And this is where we start to change it. So I don't know, I've got kids. You know, my daughter just had her fifth birthday. Everyone bought her presents. Within 3 months, those presents are gone. Mm-hmm. Those toys, the doll's head is not in the doll's body anymore. that toy, we can't find that anymore. This, if we added those presents and put that into a junior ISA, that money would grow and be compounded and be invested. By the time she was 18, how much more would she have? You see, some of us, you know, we started from zero. Some of us even started from minus. Maybe for us, it might be late, but for the next generation, what can we help them start on? Because it's that little leg up, yeah? It's just that little leg up that we can try and do so that our children don't have to start from where we started. And a great way to do that, and I don't know if you guys have heard of, is life insurance. And I'm always scared to talk about life insurance in church, because whenever I talk about life insurance, people think they're gonna die. And I might shock you today, but you're gonna die one day. I don't know. Maybe it's the first time you've heard it. Maybe it's a revelation. Maybe you thought you was living forever. But unfortunately, you're gonna die one day. Two things that are guaranteed in life: tax and death. Guaranteed. And so if we know that we're gonna die, and you know, for example, that you might not have a huge amount of savings, but you can afford 20, 30 pounds a month. That's money not only that could to pay for your funeral, because that's another thing. When we die, we want the best funeral. We want the headstone. We might even want to be buried in another country, like they ship you off for free if you die. Oh, you're dead. Okay, no problem. We got that free flight for you. It doesn't work like that. And so it's really important that we actually know, if we know we're going to die, we prepare for that. But life insurance is a way for you to guarantee that those that you are leaving behind don't start from zero, don't start from a minus. So it's something really important that we need to set up. All right? Please, go ahead. There's another question over there.
You said about two ISAs.
Yes.
So you've got the normal one, and then you've got the stocks and shares. Can you do both?
Yes, you can do both.
At the same time?
At the exact same time.
Because I thought you only could do one ISA.
Love this question. So, there are different ISAs. We have the cash ISA, we have the stocks and shares ISA, we also have the lifetime ISA. Has anyone heard of the lifetime ISA? If anybody's trying to buy a house, you should open a lifetime ISA. Yeah? So the lifetime ISA allows you to put up to £4,000 a year and get 25% from the government as long as you're going to buy a house or for your retirement. There is no investment that anyone, because I know some of you say, oh, I'm thinking of putting into crypto. Some of you, you struggle with PowerPoint. What are you doing with crypto? Come and change your password on your phone. You have to phone somebody to help you. And now you think crypto is going to save you. Leave that one alone. That one is not, everybody should know their level. That one is not for you. So, a lifetime ISA allows you to put up to £4,000 in and get 25% guaranteed from the government. Plus you get the interest from whoever the bank you put it with, okay? So that's for a property, for a first-time buyer, or for someone that wants to save towards retirement. So you could have £4,000 in a lifetime ISA, you could have £6,000 in a cash ISA, and you could have £10,000 in a stocks and shares ISA, and that's all fine, as long as you don't put more than £20,000 total. Did that make sense? Okay? So it's not that you can only have one. You can only have one. If you open a stocks and shares ISA, for example, with Hargreaves Lansdown, that tax year, you can't open another stocks and shares ISA with Vanguard. But the next tax year, you could open another one with Vanguard. And the next tax year, you could open another one with Moneybox. You could open a different one each tax year, but in the tax year itself, you can only open one, all right? So these are things that, and again, Moneybox allows you to start a stocks and shares ISA from £1. How many of us have more than £1? So if you have more than £1, we all should have a stocks and shares ISA. It's about getting into the habit. It's about learning, okay? Because even if you start with £10, I always tell people, if you start with £10 and somebody else puts in 100,000, you still have the same percentage up and the same percentage down. You still get the same report that they get. So sometimes it allows you to start off and get comfortable, and then you can start to add more as you see it. Oh, it went up 10%. If I would have put more in, I would have got this. Oh, it went down. Okay, I have to wait it out. It's a long-term investment. So it allows you to see, oh, I looked at the news and they said there's a war on. And then you look at your, oh, now my fund has gone down. Okay, so the war is affecting my investment. You see how the world plays a part in your investments. But remember, there's something called pound cost averaging. Okay, I'm going to keep it very simple. But pound cost averaging says, rather than put, if I have £10,000 and I invest £10,000 today in the market, I get whatever the price of the market is today. Does that make sense? If I put £1,000 for the next 10 months, the market's going up and down. So each month I'm getting a different price, okay? So I reduce my risk because I'm not putting it all in at one day. Because if I put it all in one day and it's really high, then the next day it goes down, I'm always gonna have to try and get, I'm not gonna make any money until it gets back to that high. Whereas if I split it over time, if it's high, the day I go in it goes high, but next month it goes low, it averages it out over time. Also, if you pay monthly, you can be invest in a market that doesn't grow and still make money. Okay? Let me give you an example. I put £100 in today and the market is £1. Yeah? So I buy all my shares at £1. Next month I put £100 in and the market drops to 50p. So I buy all my shares at 50p. The following month the market comes back to £1. The market has not grown. But all those shares at 50p have doubled. Does that make sense? So paying on a monthly basis over time is a great way to reduce your risk and build wealth over a longer time. It's that time period. So the earlier you start, the better, okay? If you've got extra money, there's even something called a junior pension. So you can have your children can have a pension from day dot. And you can put up to 3,600, but because the government give you an extra 20%, it's 2,800 that you can put in there, and the government rounded to 3,600, and you can start building the pension for your children for now, if you've got the money to do so. So these are the types of things that you want to do over the longer term. Please, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to ask a question around redundancy, because you touched on that.
Yes.
This is not a question for a friend, this is for me. I'm trying to get all the knowledge and the wisdom.
Yes.
What advice would you give to someone who is navigating redundancy? So just to give a bit of context, that's actually happened to me recently.
Yes.
So I've gone from making a certain amount, working with a big four, and being quite comfortable with how much I was earning,
yes,
and then going to zero practically.
Yeah.
But I also do have a business, and sometimes I do think, okay, is God pushing me into that?
Yeah.
Or is it better to know that every month you're making X amount because it's quite safe, and you know, just go back and try and find another job? Or do you take this time out to think, actually, what else could I potentially be doing to make more money?
Yeah, great question. When it comes to redundancy and your business, I think what we have to understand, and I give you myself as an example. So, you know, I went self-employed into my business as a financial advisor, joined a company, and I was self-employed, but I didn't get enough clients to make the type of money I was making when I was employed. Also, foolishly for me, because I had a company car, when I got my own business, the first thing I did was got the same car that the company used to buy. I started to pay myself, really believing in my source. Big mistake. And what happened was, is I had a 2-year lease. And because the money didn't come in the way I needed it to, I only had enough, I had to go and get a job. And the job I got was half of what I was when I was employed, which meant all I could afford was the monthly payment for the car. I used to look at this Mercedes and I couldn't even put petrol in this car. And I hated this car. The car that I once loved, I used to hate. I said, I can't wait till I give this car back. Every month I made this payment so I didn't mess up my credit. But I couldn't even afford petrol in the car. I used to look at it. It was growing dust there. Every morning I come out, and it was just a constant reminder. Don't put pressure on your business. Your business is brand new. You work for, you said, one of the big four. These companies have been around for hundreds of years. They've got systems, they've got clients. That's why they can afford to pay you what they pay you. Your business is brand new. The best thing you can do for your business is get a job and let your job pay you and let your business breathe. Because really what you need to be doing with that money that you're making from your business is marketing. Does anyone still see Coke adverts? At Christmas, do you see the Santa Claus advert? Do we still see McDonald's do advert? The drive-thru is still full, but they're still advertising. If Coke and McDonald's and these companies are, why does nobody know your business? You just put it in your WhatsApp story and you think that you're going to make £1 million. How? We need to focus on marketing, on networking, on building. Get to the point where your business is self-sufficient and it's building enough that you know that it can afford you plus all the other things. Don't put pressure on your business to pay you, especially in the early days. So I'd say what you can do, though, is look for a job that gives you the flexibility to do your business. Because some of us, again, are in jobs that pay us just enough, but now the hours that we work, we have no time to do anything else. Yeah? And some of us, if you count the hours that you work and you divide it by your pay, you and the person in McDonald's are getting paid the same pay. You can fool yourself. But when you add your hours there, 24 hours in a day, you're working 16 hours. Divided by your salary, you'll be on the same hourly wage as somebody in McDonald's. So it's really important to then say, actually, do I go and do a job that maybe pays me slightly less, but gives me the time? Because remember, the plan is not to work forever. Do you understand? The plan is not to work forever. Some of us, we make money, and we spend all the money, and then we go again the next month. You are setting yourself up to work forever. The plan is to work, make money, have money left over, invest that money, and over time, that money will grow to be able to pay you so you don't have to work. Please.
First of all, I want to say thank you very much for being here. I have to say everything you said about being Nigerian, I grew up in a Jamaican household, it was very much the same, lights, the beatings, the words.
No problem.
So thank you for that. But okay, so I'm nearly 60.
Yes.
Thank you, I'm nearly 60. I've worked for a lot of years in government organisations. I've got a 34 years worth of pension.
Amazing.
But I have, it's not that amazing because I still got a lot of debt and I still haven't paid off my house. So I listened to the advice you gave to the last question.
Yes.
I suppose my question to you is, if you haven't done what you need to do,
yes,
and they've made all these changes now,
yes,
that it's quite, you know, I'm supposed to retire in 2 years, but they're now talking 10 years.
Yeah.
What would you advise for somebody like me who earns a good wage?
Yeah.
But does not have enough to really say I'm set enough to stop and I want to stop.
I like that. No,
thank you.
I think, please keep the mic. Please keep the mic. So I think for you, a few questions is that in regards to your current situation, what you're trying to do, and I always tell people, is what you need to do is buy income. Does that make sense? You need to put your money into something that's going to generate you an income so you don't have to work.
Okay.
Yeah? So we need to buy income. So for example, you got a property.
Yes.
Do you have any spare rooms in that property? You see, no, you're black, you don't want no one to live with you. I know this. I get this.
I save my rooms for my grandchildren.
I get this all the time.
Yeah.
This is my life.
Yeah.
I get you, but just do you have any spare room?
Do, but I save my rooms for my grandchildren.
Yeah,
so,
not cool. Grandchildren ain't paying you no money. I'm not just saying that.
Yeah, no.
Because there's a scheme called the rent-a-room scheme. I don't know if you've not heard about it. So the government will allow you to rent out a room up to, I think it's £700 a month. Up to £700 a month, I think. And you don't have to pay any tax. That's free income. So when you're thinking about what that number is, let's say you need £2,000 a month. If just one room means now you've got 700, now you only need 1,300. You need to buy income. So you need to use the assets that you have around you. Now, what you might then do is say, okay, you work in government. There might be, know how to apply for contracts with the government or what the government looks for when you're trying to apply for stuff or get grants or whatever it is that you do. Now, all of a sudden, rather than just let people throw these applications and get declined, you set up a business that teaches people how to do it properly because that's your skill. You don't have to learn nothing new. It's what you've been doing every day for the last 26 years. So now you monetize what you've already got. And now people will pay you. Because if I'm applying for a grant with the government and the government are going to give me 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, if somebody told me it's going to cost me £1,000, £2,000 to get 20,000, that's a no-brainer. So now you provide a service with the skills that you already got too. Then you look at the asset that you've got already. So while you're still working, is there a way, with your property, is there a way for you to monetize your property? Is there a way to take, maybe while you're still working, if you still have to work the next 7 years, can you take some money out of your property now to get another property that can generate an income, which can help you pay that off over the next 7 years? Do you understand? We got to start being creative with what we've got. Do you know what I mean? And the things that we've done. Then you need to look at your pensions. What have I got pension-wise? What is the actual amount? When can I get access to it? Do you have to wait till you get state pension, which you know is just going up and up and up? So if you now know you need to wait till state pension, Lord of mercy, but if you have to, then all of a sudden now you know this is when I can afford to, this is when I'm actually going to retire. So it's for you to now look at what have I got, what do I need to get to, and what are my options available to me to get there? You know what I mean? And then someone like Veronica, for example, is very good as a business coach to help you with that business idea to go from the development stage into actually being practical and making it happen, all right? Mm-hmm. And how to use social media and so forth to find potential clients. So then it's about networking. And that's another thing that we all need to know about. Life insurance and networking. Those are two things that you can leave to your children that don't cost anything. Networking is just going out and meeting people and connecting with people. Life insurance, you just pay on a monthly basis. So if there's two things that you make sure you definitely leave, is life insurance and a network. All right? I hope that helps. Another question.
So just for a bit of context, yeah. Before I ask my question, I have a brother. He does like reselling kind of. Mm-hmm. And he makes decent money from it. Like he does make a bit of money.
Yeah.
But the thing is with him, he doesn't really know how to save. So yeah. Once he gets the money, it will be out of his account in flipping days.
Yeah.
So my question in general is for like young people in general, how would you teach them to start saving so that once they, I don't know, maybe get a job in the future, that they don't have that difficulty saving? And in the case that maybe like some people in here, they become redundant, which God forbid, but it can happen.
Yeah.
How would you advise them to get around that, knowing that, you know, they were able to develop that skill of saving as a young person? And they can now do it in the future.
All right, cool. So I think there's two things in that. Number one, with the redundancy, I think the big thing for all of us to know is that just because you are employed does not mean you are safe and secure. It's a lie. You are a number, and at any given time, a business will make a business decision, and you'll be gone. And before you even pack your box, they've already moved on.
Yes.
Yeah? So you can tell yourself that, oh, I've been here for years, they love me, they care. Love yourself, okay? So the number one thing is, no matter, I'm not saying everyone has to be a business owner, everyone has to be an entrepreneur, but anyone can have a side hustle. Anyone can have something that they make money from. Some of us are amazing cooks. Like you could cook for people in your local area. I had this the other day. I did a TV show with a lady. You know, she's a cook. That's her profession. She's a cook in a care home. And I said, and she was struggling for money in the pandemic. And I was like, have you thought, you know, your neighbors, because she's quite friendly, she knows a lot. Have you ever thought about your older neighbors offering food for them? Just, you know, you cook something. And she's like, yeah, I do that sometimes, and I give it away for free. No, that's a business. No, you can offer it, and people can pay you for that. And now she's been able to have money left over and buy her daughter trainers, things that she has never been able to do. What I'm saying is that for a lot of us, we're looking for the answer. We're waiting for God to come down and blow in your ear. And, you know, the revelation, and just listen, you've already got the skills. God has already given you the skills. It's just now for you to find, you've already got the value. You just need to find who wants the value that you have. We all have value. And so for your brother, I think it's really important when it comes to younger people, is to really get them to understand what they're doing. Yeah. So if you make money and then you give your money to Nike, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, What you are doing is you are helping billionaires stay billionaires while you stay poor. Do you understand? You taking the little money that you have, even in your mum's house. You know, even you're selling on your mum's internet. You don't even pay the internet bill. You're using your mum's internet to make this money. And then you're giving your money to billionaires, to people who are multi-millionaire billionaires. And then you're going back to zero. When you understand the concept of what you're doing, it's crazy, and so you have to change it. Why would you make money and not pay yourself? Do you understand? But we do this all the time. You get paid in the month. You'll pay your landlord. You'll pay British Gas. You'll pay council tax. You'll pay. And then you won't pay yourself. But did you not work for your money? So there always must be a thing where you say, I need to pay my future self. I need to give money to my future self. And that's something that young people need to understand. Because remember, the goal is not to work forever. Do you understand? Like, you're selling trainers now. Before you know, AI will start selling trainers. What are you going to do? So while you're getting it, while you can do it, make sure you're putting it away. Something for yourself for the future. Redundancy is going to happen, but you can create income streams so that you're not falling on that. You can create an emergency fund to make sure that you have those opportunities, that you have a backup plan. They say if the average person lost their job, within 2.5 weeks, they'll be bankrupt. How are we working for 10, 15, 20 years, and yet in 2.5 weeks, we're finished? We've got to start asking us questions. Because some of these things I say, people don't like it. You know, people will die at 60, 70, 80, and no money to bury themselves. And then we'll do GoFundMe, or we'll come to church, and Pastor Deji's phone will be ringing. Do you know what I mean? Now it's pastor's problem. We've had 60, 70, 80 years to think about the fact that we're going to die one day. But now pastor must come and solve. Do you understand? There are funeral plans that are £10-15 a month. Within 4 to 5 years, your whole funeral is paid for. Some of us are spending more on that on Costa coffee. When you've got coffee in your house, don't get me started. Please.
Hi, sorry. So I have a question on people in debt.
Yes, in debt.
Are you better off using whatever you make or whatever to pay off the debt, or is there sort of a balance between paying off the debt and investing, you know,
in other things? I love this question. So I get people that are in debt and they were like, I've got 10,000 in savings, but they got 20k in debt. You're 10,000 in debt. No, that's what you are. And when you look at the rate that you're getting on your savings, 2 or 3%, and you look at the rate that you're paying on, especially on a credit card, 20%, the maths is not mathing. Yeah? So your first priority, yes, you should have some money for emergencies and so forth, but your main money, I always tell people, as do it as a percentage. If you've got debt, maybe 70, 80% of your money should be going towards that debt, of debt you have left over, and then 20% going towards savings. And then once that debt's paid off, you can then start building that money towards your savings, all right? And also, paying that debt will get you into the habit because you're used to not having that money. So when that debt goes, don't all of a sudden now, like I was saying before, all of a sudden you've left Aldi and Lidl, and now that money that you was using to pay the loan, you're now in Waitrose. You know what happens when we get money? All of a sudden, you see that Lidl's bread and that Lidl milk? It don't taste the same no more. It don't taste like Waitrose. There's just something about bread and milk. I tell you, it's the same cow. Don't make them fool you. It is the same cow, just in a different box. Okay? But money will have you start thinking that, no, it just is not tasting the same. That orange juice, you know, come from orange. The juice from orange is different. Yeah? So it's really important that you don't allow lifestyle creep to mean that you stay where you are and that money be wasted. So use that debt as a habit. Also, one thing that people don't do enough, you can get if you've got a loan, after a year, depending on what the rate is, you should always search to see if you can get a better loan rate. No one does this. It's actually crazy. So if you get a loan, let's say I get a loan for 5 years, you think I just need to pay this loan for the next 5 years. But what you could do is, let's say I get a loan and the loan is 12%, interest rates come down, and now I can get a loan at 8%, I get the loan at 8%, I pay off the one at 12%. You save yourself thousands of pounds of interest. Yeah? And you just always review it. Sometimes you can get a better rate, sometimes you can't. But don't feel like you have to pay that, stay on that loan and pay that to the end. You can try and find a better rate at any given time. You know? Sometimes also, depending on how much you owe, you can use an interest-free credit card. Transfer that onto an interest-free credit card and then pay that off, paying that interest. You've got to be savvy and wise, okay? All right, but the big thing I want people to really know when it comes to debt and money, yeah, when it comes to debt, I only use debt for two things. Either it's making me money or it's saving me money. You do not use debt for liabilities, yeah? Because you, if you use debt to buy things that go down in value and you have to pay interest, it's a very bad combination. So if it's making me money, let's say I've got a business idea and I see a product that I can get cheaper, I can use an interest-free credit card to buy that product, sell it online, make the money, pay it back, no interest. All the profit is mine. It's made me money. Save me money. If I want to go on holiday, the earlier you book a holiday, the cheaper it is. What some of us do is we'll save every month and then just before we're ready to go, we'll pay cash and be like, yay, well done. But you could have used an interest-free credit card, pay for that holiday, and that same savings that you're going to save, pay each month onto that credit card, and you would have got a cheaper holiday and saved yourself a lot of money. Plus, some of us are using our debit card and not our credit card. So your debit card gives you no rewards and no points. So actually, if you know you like to fly, why not get air miles? Why not pay for the things that you normally pay cash, put on your credit card, and pay that off at the end of the month? It boosts your credit score and gives you points on the things that you enjoy. Let's start making the money work for us. That's how we start to be a bit more savvy. I hope that helped. Thank you, everyone.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.